The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Where's Scott?
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey, waking.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The federal government can do most anything in this country.
And let me say this to all of the chattering class. The American people really don't care.
Robert Scott Bell.
Where in the Constitution does it give you the authority?
I don't worry about the Constitution on this, to be honest.
Wow.
What's going on here?
This is scary.
Robert Scott Bell.
I personally feel that I've done nothing morally wrong.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes. You know, do me a favor. Could you say senator instead of ma'am? I worked so hard to get that title.
Stop whining.
Liberals, I hate them so much.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Oh, well, it looks like Reuters and everybody else is reporting that Muammar Gaddafi just got a flu shot, his seasonal flu shot. Don, did you see that?
That's a pretty interesting picture. My daughter actually saw that on the TV, and she was like, "Ah, he looks like a zombie."
Well, yeah, it looks like we're going to have to talk about the faces of the flu next hour, but ding dong, the witch is dead. Can they now make Obama president of Libya?
I don't know. That might be actually better than what might end up being in there, and that's kind of the big question right now, is that, okay, now Gaddafi is gone. Now what's going to happen to Libya? Is Libya going to end up being just another place where it's going to be a vacuum where the bad guys can go in there?
Look, we need another military base. What do we only have, like 900 bases and 150? We need 901. Come on. We've got the money. Right. We can print it. Hey, by the way, the Wall Street Journal this morning, they actually published an op-ed by Ron Paul. Talking about,
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it was interesting because he ended up with quite a profound statement that should say it all. And you know, listen, I know the old media, they're doing their level best to convince everybody Ron Paul can't be president. Listen, I'm not one that predicts the future, but I do know that if he's not, then that, you know, all of the collapse we're talking about is inevitable because the people aren't willing to own up to, you know, the irrationality of an economy run by a private group of banksters.
Absolutely. I mean, they try to marginalize him. They try to ignore him. You know, he had the Black This Out money bomb yesterday. $2.2 million in one day.
And counting. I think they're going to continue it on through Friday.
They have extended it to Friday.
Yeah, so if you have not given.
How much mention will there be of Ron Paul raising $2.2 million from individual donations from the grassroots?
Not one from people. Goldman Sachs. Not one.
Yeah.
Unlike Romney, who they say, oh, he's the guy. He's our guy. He's our leader, Romney, right? Yeah, we need him because he follows along with the bankster puppets. Now, the end statement I shall read here from the Ron Paul op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal. The continued existence of an organization that can create trillions of dollars out of thin air to purchase financial assets and prop up a fundamentally insolvent banking system is a black mark on an economy that professes to be free. Now, I'd say it's like a bubonic plague. The Black Death really is what it is. And that's where we're headed, quite honestly. I don't mean to – I'm not a negative kind of guy. You know, I'm hopeful about the future because ultimately, you know, it's good. Life is going to continue. But how much brutality, how much disease, how much cancer do you have to have before you're willing to make a change? And that means economically in this course. They're going to go, Romney's our guy, and he's basically another bankster puppet.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's obvious at this point that the Fed has been the problem, has been a major source of the problem that we're in now, has been identified as something that will not work And if it's something that we continue to go with, is not going to make the situation any better. So if we allow the Fed to continue, then, you know, shame on you, whoever it is that ends up being in office, if it's not Ron Paul, because
right.
it's, you know, it's one of those things. If you point out what the problem is, you don't do anything about the problem, then yes. you're just part of the problem.
Well, and that's why I you know, support Barack Obama for president of Libya.
Yes.
Right. You know, listen, you know, but, you,
well, I'll tell you what, Robert, in all seriousness about the Libya situation.
Yeah.
Now that we've gotten Gaddafi, it's, you know, the same thing when we got Osama bin Laden.
Right.
Okay, Gaddafi's gone. Do we have to continue to be involved in, you know, the kinetic military action that's taking place? You know, not war. We can't call it that. But, you know, being a part of the of what's going on with NATO, mm-hmm. you know, is it possible that we might have averted being involved in another war in another country? You know, I want to say yes, but part of me saying, you know, is just looking at this going, oh, great. So now they got Gaddafi. So now we can just move in there and just make that another, you know, another part of the empire.
Yeah. And I think people are offended by the use of the term empire, the so-called neocons. But, you know, what do you call a country that has 900 bases around the world and 150? What do you call that? I mean, kinetic military action. What do you call it? Empire? No, these are social clubs. We host tea parties around the world. And right. not the kind of tea party that the American people are rallying up to do, whether it be a Wall Street tea party or anything. You know, this is the kind of reality that a lot of people don't want to look at. It's like,
well, and I'll tell you, as far as the neocons go, I'm not going to name any names, but you know that there are the other talk radio shows that I work on in my other day job.
Yes, yes.
And he got a call on his show from a Ron Paul supporter who it kills me every time a Ron Paul supporter calls up, because, you know, if you're going to call up a talk radio show, you got to be prepared, because these guys are going to try and destroy you.
Yeah.
And he called up talking about how we shouldn't be the policeman of the world. And this neoconservative talk show host goes, well, we have to do it, because if we don't do it, then China's going to do it. We don't want China to be the policeman of the world, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I just fell out of my chair. But
let them be the policemen of the world and go bankrupt too, right?
Yeah, no. Well, and I'm sorry. You know, I doubt very much Germany is going to invite China in to install a military base, you know,
right.
instead of us. So, yeah, but you're right. It is an empire that sounds kind of negative. Makes it sound like we're, you know, Darth Vader or something. But
I don't mean the American people are the. You know what I mean?
It's no, just like, and it's not the people. It's the military industrial complex.
Exactly.
Hopefully, you know, Ron Paul gets in there, we can maybe put an end to not just Libya, but Afghanistan and Iraq and everywhere else where we just don't need to be involved.
Right. Do we really need troops in Germany? Come on. You don't think they make Mercedes Benzes, for goodness sake? They can't defend themselves? Come on. Listen, we got a lot of healing to do today, Don. We're going to be joined momentarily by my good friend, Dr. Teresa Dale. We're going to talk vaccines and chronic disease and cancers as well. Fascinating next hour, because yesterday, the discussion with Dr. Nick Gonzalez, we talked almost about genius issues, about how hard it is to become one rather than those that believe, oh, you're just born that way. And so we're going to talk with Mark Anderson. He's the author of Shakespeare by Another Name. There's a new movie coming out called Anonymous. This is like movie week, cut, poison, burn. I know Dr. Teresa Dale wanted to talk about a new movie called The Greater Good she's going to let us know about. And Liam Sheff will join us next hour as well. And we'll talk Faces of Flu, too. So, Don, thanks for helping me kick it off today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And now back on the Robert Scott Bell Show. It's been a while, but I've replayed some of your shows. Dr. Teresa Dale joins me because I so much enjoy having her on. Her knowledge base, her integrity, and bringing out great information and great healing products. She's back. Dr. Teresa Dale, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Robert. It's always a pleasure.
Now, Dr. Dale, we always will hit endocrine issues. Not that it's the only thing you do, because you do so much more, but it's so desperately needed for people to understand how to deal with the hormones and such. And we may get into things like uterine fibroids today or other issues. We've been talking on the air about breast cancer and such, and vaccines are always topics here. And I think that we might need to start there, because so much of what sets us on this disastrous state of chronic disease is when we're born, the whole vaccine industry takes over the people of planet Earth.
I know, it's so amazing. Wait till you see this new movie. It's called The Greater Good Movie. I've got a trailer on it, and it's in a movie theater in LA now. It's going to be here until the 20th, so only a couple more days. I'm not sure where it goes, but I'm going to give you the URL, the website.
Absolutely. Now, the greater good, it's funny, it's movie week here. Yesterday we talked about Cut, Poison, Burn, a documentary. Next hour we're going to talk a little bit about Anonymous, the movie about who William Shakespeare may or may not have been. But in your sense, in this movie, The Greater Good, give us an overview. What is this about?
Well, it's basically about vaccinations and about actual videos of kids who have been severely harmed and killed, and their parents. And it's a documentary movie that everyone needs to see, especially if you're a parent or if you have health issues. And so I've got the trailer that I'm going to give you to go to view the little trailer on it, and then you can look for it in your in a movie theater near you. It's a documentary.
Oh, this is great.
It's http://www.greatergoodmovie, G-R-E-A-T-E-R, good, G-O-O-D, movie, no spaces, greatergoodmovie.org.
.org, okay, that's very important.
And then there's a /home. H-O-M-E.
Yeah, that'll open up easy. And I will also have this linked up in today's show notes, so it makes it easier for those that get the daily updates through naturalnewsradio.com or at robertscottbell.com. But I'm very excited about the awareness being raised through the arts, through film, through documentary, and sometimes it's done through even fictionalized versions. But this sounds like it's a very direct visual representation of what we've been talking about for many years.
It is, and it's somebody has stepped up to the plate and made a movie about it, including comments and documentaries of who's responsible for it, why are they doing this, just everything. And so I think people really need to see the little trailer, get to the movie theater, or wherever it is, and it's a documentary. So I think it's very needed and necessary, and people have to become aware of this because of all of the side effects of vaccinations. And believe it or not, Robert, the most common thing that I get from clients is that, oh, my doctor is so nice, they wouldn't give me anything harmful. Oh, my doctor is such a great person, they wouldn't give me a drug that could kill me. And my comment is about that is that's just not true. It doesn't matter that, I mean, somebody that's nice, it's great, doesn't mean that they are going to do the right thing. It means that their training is allopathic. They get into the allopathic mode, and that is their training. And so it's like mental brainwashing.
Right.
Okay? And it's like somebody who has been brought up with a certain point of view, a certain religion, where their whole life they believe this thing that they were raised with. It's the same thing. Whatever it may be.
Well, you're right. There is a almost a religious dogma about, for instance, vaccines or the vaccine religion, or you know, it's like a subset of the Church of Biological Mysticism. My friend John Rappaport calls it that, and it's very much a horrific start to life when you inject children in this way.
Right, and I see it every day where people call and say, oh, I made a mistake, I just gave my child a vaccine, what do I do? And I realize now, I saw this movie or I heard somewhere that I shouldn't have done that. And so then I recommend taking a homeopathic remedy to detoxify it.
Okay, stand by. Actually, I want to take a break here because we got the intro here, and I want to come back and we're going to get into some of the remedies to detoxify from the dangerous effects of vaccination. You will not hear this on any other media outlet in the old media. That's why you're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Dr. Teresa Dale is my guest this hour. We're going to have a great time talking about this and so many other things. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st-century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Scott Bell Show.
Dr. Teresa Dale is with me here on the Robert Scott Bell Show today, wellnesscenter.net. And I know I've heard from many of you who have bought her book, and it's wonderful. We'll talk about that as well. I'm so glad people are availing themselves of your great clinical experience and knowledge and put it into that book form, in addition to those that are taking advantage by doing the saliva test to check out the endocrine system and get on a system to get you back where you want to be. Now, Dr. Dale, you were hinting right at some remedies to counteract the devastating effects of vaccination. We can call it, in a general sense, vaccinosis, but specifically talk to people about how they can counteract this.
Well, you know, whether you're an adult or a child, you can do it. Your dosage is different depending upon that factor, but they make homeopathic remedies, and I have formulated my own ones because it's so hard to get in the United States.
Right.
The FDA seems like they want to outlaw the good stuff that does no harm and can really help people.
Yes.
But there are available homeopathic remedies to detoxify everything from the flu vaccine, which is a biggie. We need to know that now you can get it in Walgreens and your drugstore. And so they just want to, you walk in the door and they want to stick the thing in your arm. You know, this is coming sort of like a police state where they're making people feel guilty about having their kids not having their kids vaccinated.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People have to sign a form in order to get out of that. So what I've done is I've created a homeopathic DTaP, homeopathic measles, mumps, rubella, homeopathic polio, homeopathic influenzinum, one of A, B, and C, which is for the flu, and it's updated for the latest strain every year. It's called All Flu, and that is a homeopathic remedy that is, these can be used prophylactically or for chronic or acute conditions. So prophylactically means as a vaccination. You can actually use it as a vaccine.
I want to say, you go, girl, because this is the people aren't willing to speak out truthfully about these things. And I'm so excited that we can get this information out to people. I've been trying to talk for years on it, and very few people do communicate, much less understand it, and you get it. And that's why I'm thrilled that we can get this information out. A lot of remedies that can counteract some of these negative impacts of vaccines, but also, as you said, to sensitize the system legitimately and safely, unlike the traditional allopathic vaccines, which are violating 1,000 layers of the immune system, and that's an understatement, to create damage. At the same time, they hope to elicit an antibody response, which isn't even sufficient to protect you from disease anyway.
It's a joke. It's absolutely a joke. And it's just exposing children and adults to contaminants, to viruses, to bacterias. And at such a young, early age, I mean, it's really, really harmful to people. And no matter what the medical establishment says, I would refute that. No matter what, any place, any time, I've got research. There's so much research available. And, you know, in other countries, Robert, they use homeopathy as a vaccine. That is their vaccine in other countries.
Yeah.
You know, like India, they use homeopathic vaccines. So we have to get up to speed. We have to say no to a system that wants to cut, burn, and poison our body.
Yes, amen.
Say no to it.
We have to say yes to nozodes, though.
Right.
And that's what we call the kind of the loose term. When you say a homeopathic vaccine, we refer to them officially as nozodes.
Right. They're homeopathic nozodes, which means pathology. So a nozode is made from the pathology of a particular substance. So we take the actual pathology, which is injected into the person in a vaccine, which is ridiculous. We take the actual pathology and make it homeopathically, which is energy medicine. So there's actually nearly no substance left. There may be a nanogram.
And that's the safety of the remedy, of course. And we know that the allopathic mindset is all about stuff, and more stuff. The more stuff, the better. Of course, the more stuff, the more toxic, which is why we go a different direction with the medicine that we use here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And that, of course, homeopathy is very much at home right here, as is Dr. Teresa Dale. That's why we were doing this together. She mentioned the documentary film, The Greater Good, greatergoodmovie.org. And again, remember, I've got that linked up at the show notes now at robertscottbell.com, so we can go further. So if we talk about vaccines, and, you know, I've actually working on a 10-hour seminar with John Rappaport on the subject, and we can't get enough information out there because there's just too many people being harmed by it. So I'm really grateful for your willingness to speak out directly on this. We now need to acknowledge not only the immediate impact. Let's say a child becomes very sick with high fever and screams and gets autism or something like that, but the long-term chronic debilitating impact as children develop into adults that we're seeing that are also vaccine-induced diseases.
And we have the people with autism, Alzheimer's disease, and, you know, Parkinson's disease, and a number of neurological diseases that can be traced back to childhood. And I've done that, you know, studying in Europe was one of the greatest experiences of my life, because I had an opportunity to work with physicists and biophysicists and doctors, medical doctors and internists that absolutely use no drugs and absolutely use homeopathy almost exclusively. And one of the things we can do is actually track back what caused what. Now, when you're looking at a new model of care, you have to look at finding the cause of the disease and not making it a hit or miss thing. Let's try this. Let's try that. Let's do this. You can find out the cause of the disease, and that is the most important thing. And through tracking diseases and the actual energy pattern that is related to the disease, it tracks back to childhood, lots of it to vaccines, sometimes to other drugs or other things that were given to the child. So we not only have autism, we have all neurological conditions. We have ADD, ADHD. And if you watch that little trailer, which is the www.greatergoodmovie.org/home, that is where that trailer is, so you can take a little peek at that. I think that would be the way to go.
Yeah, I think it would be terrific to see this. Some people are kind of shielded from these realities, although, as we know, the Robert Scott Bell Show audience and those that read Natural News are much more aware than the general public, but every little bit that we can get out in any way, whether it be through this show, whether it be through your book, whether it be through this new movie, this is what we're all about. This is why we're doing it, to help those, to empower those to heal that, you know, are kind of lost in this medical system that may not even be aware that they're causing the very illnesses that then they try to treat and then cause 10 other illnesses along the way.
Right. Now, in my book, Revitalize Your Hormones, I have a 16-page compendium on homeopathic hormones that and homeopathic remedies that can help women with various endocrine complaints. And so it's 16 pages. It explains homeopathy. It gives you specific individual remedies that you can use for different conditions. Now, I have my own remedies that I formulated, mm-hmm. but in the book, it was very important for me to go into more detail about what these specific individual remedies do. And you can find that in the book, Revitalize Your Hormones. Now, in my first book, Transform Your Emotional DNA, it's really about the blueprint of your life. It's about how our patterns as a child really develop and how the information, the way that we're raised, the belief systems, whatever they are, develop into how our life is later on, for good or not. And when you look at that, you can really see how people develop certain illnesses. And if they just wouldn't take drugs for those illnesses, if they just wouldn't take the drugs, okay, then the illness wouldn't be suppressed.
Right.
And then
right.
later on in life, we have to go through the layers and layers and detoxification and cleansing and different things in order to pull that energy pattern back up again so that we can release it. You see, the reason why things get bad, why our condition gets worse, why things are compounded and why conditions morph into something else, it's because of the way we're treating it, because of the drugs we're taking. That's why that happens.
Well, and we talk about compounding the original problems with those very medicines that end up suppressing these things further and wonder, you know, we scratch our heads, like, well, where all this chronic disease come from, right? Where do these little girls start with abnormal, what we'd call menstrual cycles? Right. It used to be. And you as the woman doctor that you are, correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, a menstrual cycle, for instance, was about the sloughing off of the monocellular lining of the uterus when a pregnancy did not occur in any given month or cycle. And that is, a slight scanty type discharge versus what we see now. A whole industry spawned to address monthly, literally like arterial blood bleeding, like injury every month. And that's a distinction that historically the doctors don't seem to get when they look at the natural way things used to be.
Well, I think that there's a couple of things happening mm-hmm. here. One is the amount of vaccines that people get when they're little today, these days. It's terrible. It alters everything, including the endocrine system and the neuroendocrine system. Okay. Number two is the diet that we eat today is very different from the way it used to be. We're talking about people eating and grabbing a hold of fast foods, all kinds of fast foods. They're getting it from the media, from watching TV. You need to be really in control of your mute button when you watch TV,
yes.
you know? So the thing about hormones is that I have so many patients. I just got off the phone with one this morning who I made her go get an ultrasound so I could see the fibroids because it was our first call. And, you know, we actually, she's got a lot of fibroids and cysts. And of course, they want to do surgery and take everything out. And I said, you know, within a month, we should be able to see a difference if you follow everything I say. Within a month, there should be some kind of a difference. And if we did another ultrasound in a month, we can see whether all of the energy and time that you're putting into being healthy and detoxifying your body, whether it's making a difference. And that's the kind of thing that I enjoy doing, is seeing the results after a month, not just talking about it, making the patient do it. Now, it's hard to make the patient do it if they're used to eating junk food, but if they're scared enough, like they go to the doctor and says, we got to cut everything out. You know what I'm saying? We have to do a complete hysterectomy. Oh, you're only 32. Sorry. Well, that's no problem. You know, we've done hysterectomies on people in their 20s.
Amazing.
That's what they do. So when people get scared like this, they will make a change. But what if you didn't have to be scared to make a change? What if you made a change just because it was the right thing to do?
Yeah.
And you started now. You know that you would not have a lot of physical health problems if you start now with changing your diet. So what I told this woman today, her diet is going to be basically vegan, no animal products, wheatgrass juice, 3 to 4 ounces a day, taking certain nutrients that I created and used to dissolve the fibroids and cysts, to basically take the tissue and just kind of eat away and dissolve that. And then we also want to balance the hormones when we're doing this.
All right. Well, stand by. I want to take a break because we need to talk more again about balancing the hormones. It may be a review for some of you, but it's very important to hear for all the new listeners to the Robert Scott Bell Show, as well as the detoxification angle, which is, of course, very critical. My guest this hour, Dr. Teresa Dale, wellnesscenter.net and naturalhealingpro.com. I've got the links up at robertscottbell.com. And, of course, there's a toll-free number for those of you who are not as web savvy. That's fine, too, 800-219-1261, 800-219-1261. If you have not picked up her book on how to revitalize your hormones and more, it's there as well. Stand by. Coming right back with more powerful healing after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind. And yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com. And you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then. You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
You know, it really is amazing the things that are being related right here today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I mean, just as I'm listening to Dr. Dale and the things that she says with great, you don't understand how much courage it takes to do. And I know, Dr. Dale, you'll say, well, no, it's not courage. It's just what we have to do. And I agree. But so few, even holistic doctors, are willing to put themselves out the way you are, Dr. Dale, and speak directly. You can't imagine. Maybe you know, but I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Well, thank you very much.
And of course, it takes someone that's, been through what you've been through. And we've had a number of interviews over the last couple of years with the Health Freedom Expos and things to talk about your story, how you survived the Chernobyl issue. We're not going to necessarily reiterate that, but in life's experience make you either stronger or it takes you out of the life chain, and you are stronger because of it. Now, we were talking about, endocrine issues and of course, detoxification. Real fast, give me a review in simple terms so everybody's with us on this.
Okay, we talked about fibroids and cysts. We talked about how the body can get rid of them by using a vegan diet and drinking at least 3 to 4 ounces of wheatgrass a day and taking certain supplements that are designed with, I have a proprietary formula that's designed with serratiopeptidase, which is a enzyme that is produced from silkworms, and to take the enzymes that are necessary, specific enzymes that have a propensity to eat up tumors, fibroids, and cysts. That's the way you get rid of them. You shrink them, or it just kind of eats away at it. And then along with that, you have to do a detoxification, a whole body detoxification to handle the filtering organs so they all gently detoxify together. And that removes any of the toxins and waste from the fibroids and cysts. So what I've done, even with women with thyroid nodules, is we do before testing, and we'll do a ultrasound before. They may have come in with several ultrasounds, and then they decide that they want to heal these, and what should they get to heal the nodules, because the option is having their thyroid removed. Hello.
Yeah, again, more body part removal, like you talked about, ovaries, uterus, that kind of stuff.
So what we've seen in women with even thyroid nodules, that if they just eat right and do the detoxification very specific to what the issue is, that on ultrasound afterwards, they're gone. And we can see a difference in a month to 2 months. And so that kind of information is not coming to the general public.
No, the OBGYNs that are trained allopathically, they only give you synthetic hormones of that. And then, that might create cancer. But then, of course, they always have radiation surgery and chemotherapy for you. I don't think that's desirable. That's the whole point of what we do here. And let me share this with you, Dr. Hale. We may have talked about this, but I had an experience occasionally, women that would come to me that had these fibroids and different growths, and similar to you, put them on a detox protocol, specific homeopathic remedies, help to pull in. Some cases, they'll just shrink away to nothing. In some cases, the body will just start basically dumping them out.
Yes. Yes. So we see that they can come out in whole or parts. And sometimes there can be a little bit of bleeding with it. But if a woman is generally hemorrhaging, I have women who contact me who say, I've been hemorrhaging for the last 3 weeks.
Yes.
They want to do a blood transfusion. And I've had women who have had blood transfusions from bleeding. What can I do? I put them on 2 homeopathic remedies that I developed for this. And in 48 to 72 hours, the bleeding stops. And that's because when a woman is bleeding too much, she's too yin. Okay, so what we want to do is we want to handle the yin. Yin is a term in Chinese medicine. It means, there's yin and there's yang. I think most of your audience has heard of the yin and the yang.
Yes.
Okay. When something gets too out of balance in a female and there's too much bleeding, okay, it's too yin. It's a condition of too yin. So we need to correct that with a homeopathic remedy that is going to support testosterone production. Okay. And so I have 2 homeopathic remedies that I use for this, and it's very effective. I have physicians using it. I do work with a number of physicians who are very not only open, but they use mostly natural medicine. And so when there's a problem like this, instead of putting them in the hospital and doing a D&C to scrape out the whole
Well, the diseased tissue, the inflammation.
Tissue. And scrape everything out. They'll do the homeopathic remedy, which stops the bleeding.
Yeah, exactly. I concur. This is something I've seen in practice as well. So if people think this is like, wow, this is radical and strange, you guys are making this. No. Dr. Dale is absolutely right. This is the kind of thing that, of course, would upset and does upset the traditional field, if we will, of allopathic OBGYN practices. Although, you know, it, just so I can throw in my plug for Ron Paul as an OBGYN, he's delivered 4,000 babies. He has always remained open to homeopathy, to the freedom of doctors and non-doctors alike to utilize natural medicines and not monopolize the way you do something. He wants the government out of that. And so people like Dr. Teresa Dale would not ever have to concern themselves with government intervention because, you know, the freedom to heal is a fundamental human freedom.
Right. We have that freedom to heal our body, and we shouldn't be told how to do it. And we should be able to learn and choose and be educated about exactly what's good for our body. I had a very interesting call yesterday from one of the medical doctors up in San Francisco, and she's working with a medical group. She wants to not use hormones at all anymore, and her one of her colleagues that she's in practice with doesn't want to do that, would rather use hormones. And so I said to the doctor, well, I don't see that this is, should be any bit of a problem at all. Here's what you tell your colleague. Is you use hormones, you can cause cancer and kill a person. You use homeopathy and natural medicines, it hurts no one and it works. And my stuff is clinically proven in 20,000 before and after tests. So if she makes the choice to keep hurting people, then that's her choice. Why would you want to practice with someone like that?
Exactly. Again, coming back to the whole vaccine issue. Well, my doctor was nice. No. Screw that. And I'm sorry to be so bold to say that. Niceness, if it can kill you, is not nice, even if it comes in the guise of a smile, right? And it's time that we've got to get over that issue. You could have the nicest doctor in the world, but they're trained to hurt you, whether they believe that is the case or not. Inevitably, that is what happens through allopathic suppressive medicine, starting with vaccines.
As soon as you put them up on a pedestal that they're God, that they can save you, the person who can save you is you. Mm. You save you. You can be responsible for healing your own body.
Yes.
And choosing the right practitioner that will listen to what you have to say.
Exactly.
And that's the problem with a lot of medical doctors is they really don't listen. They have their mind made up before you even start talking, and they know what they can put you on because they've got a drug in mind.
Right.
You know, and they'll even give you a little sample to get you started so that you're addicted to that thing.
Yeah, you sound strangely like the street corner drug dealers. They give you their first hit for free, and so you're hooked and you'll come back.
Right. So I want to really encourage everyone to know that hormone rejuvenation is a real thing. It works. Bioidentical hormones do not rejuvenate hormones. They toxify the body. It's appalling. It's appalling to for me to get the visits and the calls that I get from people with breast tumors, with ovarian cancer, and all they're on is a supposedly bioidentical hormone. And so I know that all of this is a marketing scam, and I don't want listeners to be subjected to that. I really want them to know the truth.
Dr. Dale, when someone says bioidentical, is there an actual, it's kind of like, you know, we talk about natural. There's no definition. Anybody can say natural, right? In the field of bioidentical hormones, is there a specific strict definition, or are they playing fast and loose with this term?
It's at the most, in a test tube, it's biosimilar.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that is exactly what your body produces in the amounts that it produces, and along with the chronobiology of each human's body.
Right.
There's nothing that will replicate it except you. And so that's why it's important to heal yourself.
Right.
So that you have a natural circadian rhythm of the body, which is called a chronobiology, about how your body produces hormones at different times of the day, the afternoon, the early evening, the late evening. Your body produces different hormones at different times. So what do you think this is going to happen if you just take a little cream on your body of bioidentical hormones or a pill once a day? Your body gets confused like crazy because it doesn't know what to do anymore. It knows it was supposed to make hormones at a specific time, but it's not going to do that anymore. You create total confusion with your body.
Right.
You're never going to heal your body doing
so
that.
So what we want to do, if I may, Dr. Dale, is facilitate, just like you do, the body's own healing, the own their own recovery, the body's intelligence. You get out of the way. You provide the body what it needs, but you don't provide that which you pretend is the same, which isn't, at times when you have no idea when is the right time. Because we all the intelligence of the world doesn't know how to operate a human body. We're the stupid ones who think we know it. The body right. knows what to do. We got to get out of the way.
And the closest people who ever had a clue were the Chinese who developed the five elements of Chinese medicine body clock. And it tells you at certain times of the day or night, like at 2 a.m. in the morning, your body, your liver is the most sensitive at 2 a.m. And your liver actually produces certain amounts of T3 for your thyroid. Your liver does that. Your doctor will never tell you that.
No,
you'll never hear that on another show, that your liver, your kidneys produce T3. Not only does your thyroid produce it, but your liver and kidneys do. And that is why I recommend doing a whole body detoxification to clean out the liver and clean out the kidneys and the blood and everything. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful. This is great information here on the Robert Scott Bell Show today, as it always is when we get Dr. Dale on the call here. And, of course, I've got her links up at naturalhealingpro.com and wellnesscenter.net. Once again, those of you who are into utilizing a phone and you want to get more information or get her book, Revitalize Your Hormones, 800-219-1261, 800-219-1261. And don't worry, it's in the show notes as well. You can see it there. We're going to take a break and come right back with more powerful healing. Wrap it up on this hour of the Robert Scott Bell Show with more of Dr. Teresa Dale. Stay with us.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at Enterfood.com. Like me, the folks at Enterfood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, Enterfood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. Enterfood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. Enterfood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight, organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Enterfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Enterfood.com. That's Enerfood.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
This is the Robert Scott Bell Show, but you already know that. But Dr. Teresa Dale is ramping it up for healing in a great, great way. We've been covering a lot this month on the cancer issues, specifically breast cancer. And, of course, we couldn't go by Breast Cancer Awareness Month without also referencing it from Dr. Dale's perspective. We've talked about toxicity. We've talked about vaccination. Certainly, we've talked even to Dr. Nick Gonzalez about these issues as well. But Dr. Dale, when we talk about the breast tissue, the lymphatic tissue, the fat cells, all of these things are being corrupted by toxins, deficiencies, and so many things that we know the basic principles apply here, but we can do some things that they'll never hear about in the old media as far as addressing this really.
Well, regarding breast cancer or ovarian cancer, we need to understand certain things that are very helpful for the body. Detoxification is one. You got to make sure that you're taking enough iodine. I would take iodine from sea vegetable, from seaweed, and make sure that it's not, you get the seaweed that's not from Japan, because anything from Japan that's harvested after Fukushima, you've got radiation toxicity on it.
Right.
Okay, so, but sea vegetable is a great way to get your iodine, or you can take a homeopathic iodine, either or both, maybe for some people.
Yes.
And this is phenomenal for breast, uterine, and ovarian cancer. And it's actually been, some studies have shown that it protects the body against it. It can actually help to cure it. One thing you want to know, what cancer is and what tumors are, think about all of the emotions and belief systems that are negative in your life that you haven't dealt with, that you are pushing under the rug, that you are resisting. The body encapsulates and surrounds negative toxins, and that is what is called a tumor. Okay, so within the tumor, you've got an energy pattern, and all of the energy pattern includes belief systems. It includes identities. Identity is a person that you believe yourself to be, like a person who is chronically ill, a failure, or negative belief systems, a person who is unloved or abused. All of those things that are unresolved, however, or anything you may have from your childhood, whatever is there, is encapsulated.
Right.
Okay, and that and all the toxins in the environment, it all is in there. It encapsulates it. And then you've got a tumor, a fibroid, or cyst. Okay, so the thing is to break those down. Now, breast cancer, there is a homeopathic remedy that is called carcinosinum, and this is an old homeopathic remedy that has been used for centuries to heal breast cancer. It's a homeopathic nosode made from breast cancer,
right?
And there are certain there's another carcinosinum that is available that is from breast cancer and other types of cancerous tumors.
Sure.
So yeah, you have to order the right one, and that comes in various potencies. I would suggest using a 30C, 200C, and then maybe up into an LM potency, which is a very high potency, like a 1, 3, or 5 LM, which would help you to resolve the energy patterns that...
Yeah, you're getting very deep level healing, emotional and beyond at that point.
Right.
And I want to reiterate here, Dr. Dale, as well, just so you said, but people hear this, that in homeopathy, which has been around well over 200 years now as a worldwide system of medicine, many remedies have been identified for their work in helping the body recover and heal from cancer. You mentioned one of them. Conium is another one that is very commonly used as well. And I'm, you know, we could go through all of them, but at the point of utilizing the practitioner experience of formulating these sometimes in combination, you get a much more comprehensive protocol for healing.
Right. And also to find out the cause of the cancer,
yep,
it's important, and to take the right homeopathic remedy. Now, you could go to a website that I can get you a link on. Gosh, it's a homeopathic website where you could search for all the homeopathic remedies for cancer. And it's actually, you can look at Borke's Materia Medica,
yep,
B-O-E-R-I-C-K-E, Materia Medica. You could go online. It's got a database there. You put in the word breast cancer and it spits out all the remedies. But the carcinosinum remedy that I've used is really, really excellent, but there are others. And I suggest going to someone who can test you on the remedy, on the potency, to find out what's best for your body, as well as doing a whole body detox so that all the filtering organs can release. It's an herbal detox, organic, that can release the toxins as they are being neutralized, as they are being brought to the surface, so that we want to release everything.
Yes, yes. Well, this is what we want, most definitely want to do, and we're getting the word out here, Dr. Dale. It's so exciting. I mean, the things that you've said this hour are revolutionary. We talk about healing revolution on the Robert Scott Bell Show. You're definitely a big part of that. And I want everybody to know the phone number as well, if you're so inclined, if you're not so web active. It's 800-219-1261, 800-219-1261. I've got links to wellnesscenter.net as well as naturalhealingpro.com to not only get Dr. Dale's books, but you have links to all the wonderful remedies. You can even sign up for her newsletter online, so you can keep that information rolling as we, from time to time get to visit here with you on the air.
Well, that's wonderful. And I just want to mention regarding the cancer, there's specific foods to avoid.
Yes.
With the breast cancer, which would be to get on a vegan diet and get off of soy. And if your estrogens are too high, which usually they are, then I have homeopathic remedies to detox them and bring them to the right level and to balance all the ratios of various different hormones like progesterone and testosterone. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a lot of information that I presented in this time.
Oh, yeah, you loaded us full. It was great. People are going to have to re-listen.
Well, I think your listeners are brilliant. So I never dumb down anything. I'm just going to say it, and then they can listen to it a couple of times.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, if it's something new. But I do want to say that I believe that most of the people that I talk to are a lot smarter than their doctors.
Yes, I agree with that. And yet there's so many people, Dr. Dale, that call me, what do I do? Where do I go? You're not in my city. And it's like, listen, if you happen to be in Southern California, Dr. Dale's right there. But if you're not, there are so many ways you can access the healing experience that Dr. Dale presents via, the saliva test to get access to these things. So don't feel like you have to be there physically. You can actually access it. And that's why I put the number out, as well as the website, so people can say, hey, I have an option now.
Thank you so much, Robert, for all of the good work that you do to bring this great information to the general public. And I really appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Dale. Feelings mutual. We got a lot of work to do. A lot of people need the help. And I'm so grateful that you're willing to share it so freely with so many people here. Because this is where, if I remind everybody that the power to heal is theirs, we've got to give them the tools. And that is a big part of your mission as well. And that's why we have a great time together on the air.
Thank you so much, Robert.
All right, that's Dr. Teresa Dale. We've got a little bit more healing to do today. And in fact, we're going to ask about, where does genius come from? That's a fascinating question. We're going to explore that next hour. Another film called Anonymous coming out about William Shakespeare. Who was this guy? Who wasn't he? Fits into this whole realm of healing. In the meantime, again, thanks to Dr. Teresa Dale. Check it out all online at robertscottbell.com. All the links are there. I'm here to remind you that the power to heal is yours.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com. where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about total blueberry pomegranate cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. If you would like to participate, you can call Robert at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. And now, it's time to
wake up!
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Things really suck, but you know what? If it wasn't for me, they would suck worse.
What are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
Robert Scott Bell.
No family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase.
That's a lie. That's just an outright lie.
Why don't you tell the people the truth for a change?
Robert Scott Bell.
I don't know why people on the other side are so doggone stupid that they think that the federal government's going to produce jobs.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
I want to see that we guarantee that this generation is healthier.
You know, you want to go to a naturopath or a homeopath? No. That's not approved by the government.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
This hour, we're going to learn who William Shakespeare really was. And we'll learn who he really wasn't. Special guest coming up along with Liam Schiff to talk about that. Fascinating. Also, the question of genius. Is it something you're born with, or do you work your aspirin off to get there? But first, we really want to know, who is Christy Yamaguchi? Don, do you remember Christy Yamaguchi, that champion? Was she an ice skater, right?
Yeah, she was. If I remember correctly, she got the gold medal in 1992 at the Winter Olympics, which I believe were in France.
Wow. Well, who knew that she was now going to become a face?
How did I know that? I don't know.
Don, I'm wondering about you.
92 Olympics.
Do you listen to a lot of, I don't know, well, who do we go with there? Celine Dion.
Why? Because she's French?
No, I have no idea. Oh. All right, Christy Yamaguchi, back on this. She's now one of the faces of influenza, according
to...
Yeah, she is a face of influenza. It's like, I'm looking at her pretty face, and I'm thinking, this does not look like the face of influenza, Don. And then I remember recently, who put this out, this photograph at a local corner drugstore?
You know, I saw this on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it was yesterday that I saw it for the first time, and it's just I fell out of my chair laughing when I saw this, because it's a CVS pharmacy.
Okay, it's one of the corner drugstores.
You know, the CVS pharmacy is one of the, you know, like Walgreens, stuff like that, where they just, you know, throw these signs out there, hey, get your flu shot here.
Yes.
And I'm guessing from looking at this that there was probably some part-time teenage employee that was given the task of putting up the Halloween decorations and thought, you know what, it might be kind of cute, kind of clever, let's put up the Halloween decorations and incorporate that with the get your free flu shot sign. Well, unfortunately, the person that put this together didn't realize how ironic it would be to take a Grim Reaper.
Yes, the angel of death.
Yes, and have the Grim Reaper holding the get your free flu shot here sign.
It was perfect.
It's awesome.
It's truth in advertising.
Next to the Grim Reaper,
yes,
is a little baby Grim Reaper holding another flu shot sign.
Get your flu shot. Now, what does this have to do with Christy Yamaguchi? Was she one of the people behind this?
Interesting segue. Have you ever heard, you know, in the war on drugs, there's this website that could put out there, it's called Faces of Meth.
Faces of Meth. No, I've not heard of that.
Oh, it's a horrible website where it shows the faces of people that have been on meth and you know, how it changes and makes them look and stuff.
They should put the faces of Ritalin up there, too. It's another form of meth.
Yeah, there's another type of speed, right?
Yeah.
So there's this website that has been put together by the – I believe it's the American Lung Association and Sanofi Aventis. They got together and created this website called Faces of Influenza. And what it does is it has all these people on there, and you can click on their face, and it gives a story of how they went through this tragic experience of either, you know, somebody getting sick or somebody dying
from influenza. They're going to pull on the heartstrings. They're going to try to frighten you, right? Just like the Grim Reaper, the Angel of Death, to tell you to get your flu shot.
It's terrible. People sitting there holding pictures of their grandma, you know, and stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's nothing we would make light of.
We don't.
Die from influenza. It's true.
It's mostly the complications. We've been through that. But yes, Christy Yamaguchi, come on. What story could she have?
When you read through it, and I thought, wow, I'd never heard of anything that Christy Yamaguchi had been through as far as influenza goes. So I started reading the article, and apparently she's been working with these people for the last 5 years, and it says that she's seen firsthand just what flu can do to a person. I'm thinking, wow.
So she had a family member or a friend die? What happened?
Died or something. It says here, while Yamaguchi was still skating competitively, she watched one of her peers succumb to the flu. And I'm thinking, holy cow.
What happened? She collapsed on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, they succumbed to the flu.
Right.
Well, as I read on, it says, she's quoted saying, a friend of mine missed competing at the Olympics because she was sick with the flu.
What?
She couldn't get out of bed that one day that she was supposed to compete.
That's the faces of flu?
That is the poster child of Christy, faces of influenza.
Well, now we're going to all...
Christy Yamaguchi, who has not missed a flu shot because her friend missed competing.
I take it all back. We're going to run out and get our flu shots. Everybody in the Robert Scott Bell Show audience should get... Because Christy Yamaguchi's competitive friend could not get up the day of the Olympics to compete because she had flu.
Yes.
All right. Well, they're succeeding on so many fronts now. Isn't this amazing? Between the faces of flu shots to the Grim Reaper faces of flu shots to the story of in California, 11-year-old boy without parental permission injected with the HPV shot because Jerry Brown says 12-year-old girls can get it. See the slippery slope where this is going?
We knew it was going to go there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you know, it's just open the gateway. And they've been trying to get boys on these HPV shots for a long time. Anything that, that Merck can do to take a drug and find every which way but loose to try and get this thing used for as many people and as many conditions, whether it's on label or off label, they do.
Yeah, this is this Christy Yamaguchi thing. It upsets me because, you know, look, she was a brilliant ice skater, pretty woman, and she got two kids. Now she's, you know, shilling for Sanofi Aventis and the flu shots or different flu vaccines, and she doesn't have a clue about the, you know, she's an ice skater.
Well, okay, and look, I mean, does that mean that she's not intelligent? No, but... You know, I don't know. I'm thinking that when these guys wanted to go out and find a spokesperson, especially when you look at their website, website is just
someone with
plastered.
A real good story.
It's papered with my mom died, my grandma died, my friend died, my brother died.
Backroom scene. Don.
And the spokesperson for this is
Christy Yamaguchi.
Friend missed the Olympics.
Is that Christy Yamaguchi calling?
That's Christy, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. She's upset with us.
Christy, yes, we're talking about you. I'll get back to you.
Christy, excuse me. I would like to ask you. But, hey, do you have any good flu stories? One of my friends didn't. She couldn't go to the Olympics. She couldn't get up. All right, we'll do it. We'll do it. Christy, a dotted line. Here's $100,000 for you.
They're trying to go with the star power because she's Christy Yamaguchi.
Yeah, dancing with the stars, having flu with the stars. Yeah. It's Halloween, having flu with the Grim Reaper.
So, Robert, here's I think where we go with this now. We've got faces of influenza and people that have died from the influenza. What's the truth behind this?
I just want to find out who William Shakespeare was at this point. I'm so disgusted with this story.
Boy, now there's a segue.
Yeah. No, I mean, what else am I going to do with Christy Yamaguchi having a friend that doesn't get to go to the Olympics because she had the flu when we
all
got
right.
people?
So, to put it in a nutshell, propaganda.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, this is it. All right, well, we'll move on here. And, of course, that's what your first Halloween story on the Robert Scott Bell Show this season. We may have others, of course, but fascinating new movie. Actually entertaining, from what I understand, Anonymous. You thought William Shakespeare was who he was? Well, it turns out he might not be.
Occupying Wall Street?
Not at all. Nothing to do with Occupying Wall Street, okay. I promise. But Mark Anderson's going to join me and Liam Sheff next after the break. Remember, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Where is genius? From where does it arise? Are you born with it? You have to work your tail off for it. That's part of the story of who this Will Shakespeare guy really is after this.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Liam Sheff is back with us now on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We got a special guest momentarily joining us. And, you know, Liam and I end up getting discussions, as you know, into some pretty interesting areas and topics that not everybody covers in media, whether it be terrestrial radio or internet radio. It doesn't matter. And I love the fact that we're doing this one today. There's a new movie coming out. I believe it's called Anonymous. Is that right, Liam?
It might be.
Anonymous?
In fact,
yeah.
It is.
About Shakespeare, who he was, who he might not have been. But it's more than that. And it kind of goes off of yesterday's topic that I did with Dr. Nick Gonzalez. It kind of came about inadvertently as we were talking about How do you become a genius, right? Because a lot of people are like, oh, just add water, poof, you're a genius. Oh, you're born, you're a genius. And, Dr. Nick is one of the top medical doctors on planet Earth in terms of helping people overcome cancer, including pancreatic cancer, without chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. And so they, well, how did he come by that? Well, we talked about some of that backstory. Years and years and years working with his mentor, absorbing, learning, reading, doing. And doctors come to him all the time, and they think they can spend a week with him, and suddenly, poof, they're now, they have all this knowledge, and they can go out and become a celebrity doctor as well. And in my experience, Liam, you know, we've talked about too, you know, over 10 years of working side by side in a master apprentice relationship with a homeopathic doctor from Europe, from Belgium. And, you know, it takes time, but a lot of people think, oh, you're just born that way. Like people, Robert, you're really smart. No, I wasn't born. I had the patience and the persistence to go through a lot to learn what was so desperately important to me, as Dr. Nick did, as well as evidently whoever Shakespeare was, we may find out. Liam, and I want you to introduce our next guest as well as you relate where we're going.
Absolutely. I'm really pleased that Mark could make time. Our guest is an author, a journalist, Mark Anderson. He's up in Massachusetts. He wrote a book that I heard about in 2003 when Mark interviewed me about some work I did on the old HIV/AIDS thing that we talk about all the time. And he mentioned to me, did you ever hear about the Shakespeare controversy? And I said, the what? No, I never. And he said, no, it's really interesting, and I'm writing a book. Well, lo and behold, 4 years later, I'm in the library in Princeton, and I pick up something. I said, well, this looks interesting, and I'm going through it and listening. I get the audio thing and then the book. The audio version of the book, by the way, is fascinating, Shakespeare by Another Name. I'm looking at it, and then I get, I'm reading and listening and reading and listening and reading, and I go, this is incredible. This is just like what was that guy, Mark? Oh, my, I got a, and then I look at the author. Oh, it's Mark Anderson. This is his book.
This,
it's great.
This is Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson, who's there in the background quietly waiting for me to.
Could be a doctor, for all we know.
Oh, he's a great, he's a very good writer, and he's a very good researcher, but we're going to let him display that for you.
You know, and what's fascinating about this, and we'll bring Mark up in just a moment, we talk about the orthodoxy in medicine, right? The orthodoxy in AIDS. There's an academic orthodoxy around who Shakespeare is or is not.
And who knew?
Who knew? This is, but it shows that in every endeavor, in every field of life, especially in the mental sciences, the academia, there's such a religious cult around so many things. And I was fascinated, just like you, to learn about Mark Anderson, what he'd written about.
And who knew that you could be called essentially a Holocaust denier or a denier if you suggested, as crazy as this may sound to you now, we'll bring on Mark now, as crazy as it may sound, that Will Shakespeare, the sort of half-arsed businessman from Stratford-upon-Avon who never traveled, did not speak any other languages other than English, and probably did that badly, had two illiterate daughters, had a will in which he left not one manuscript, not one piece of paper, not one poem. None of the works that we attribute to Shakespeare were in this man's possession. He left his wife his second best bed. To quote Mark Twain, who wrote about it, if he had had a dog, he probably would have cut that in half and dispersed it. This guy was just sort of a nobody. So how did we get to have him as Shakespeare?
And let's find out.
Let's throw it to Mark Anderson.
Mark Anderson, welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Thanks for your patience.
Hello, and thank you for having me on.
Mark, it's fascinating, this whole other area that there's an orthodox cult religion viewpoint of who this William Shakespeare, Will Shakespeare, is or is not.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, to your listeners, I was probably sitting in a similar situation that they were in around 1993 when I heard something, an interview with an expert on the radio, a scholar who was saying some of the same things I'm now talking about. It took me by surprise, because of course, I mean, you know, you read the works of Emerson, or you read, you know, modern day authors, you know, Salman Rushdie or whatever, and you know, I mean, it's just, they are who they are. There's no need to question it. But in fact, there's been this intense debate that traces back centuries, been most heated since about the mid-1850s, that's involved people like Mark Twain. Liam quoted Mark Twain. Mark Twain was one of our one of our doubters, who said, you know, we've got the Shakespeare story completely wrong, and it reaches its conclusion, I think, or its first conclusion in 1920, when this school teacher discovers this previously obscure court poet and playwright named Edward de Vere, Earl of Oxford. And the more that we have discovered over the past 90 years about Edward de Vere's life, the more that the entire Shakespeare canon essentially just translates into, in addition to being, of course, tremendous, you know, phenomenal, the best works of literature in the English language, they also are these incredibly autobiographical, beautifully detailed accounts of a very, you know, intense, sometimes troubled life, always political, always questioning the powers that be, and ultimately his, you know, his ultimate sacrifice was, you know, he called so many powers into question that and he was in such a place of power in the Elizabethan court. He was the premier earl of the premier sort of nobleman in Elizabethan England. That, you know, he had to sacrifice his name because he just said too many.
Do you think that maybe
damaging things about too many powerful people?
Mark, maybe that's why he became anonymous, for his own survival. I mean, this is a guy who spoke against so much through his plays, and Liam brought this to my attention. As I said, again, just stunned. It hadn't ever occurred to me. But and also the reason why this was controversial, is it because of tourism would drop in Stratford-upon-Avon if they knew he might not be the same guy?
Well, Stratford-upon-Avon kind of, and the tourism industry, that comes in the 1700s. Just to give your listeners a sense of what we're talking about, the Shakespearean age, quote-unquote, you know, however you choose to define it, it starts around the early 1590s. So we're talking about 400 years ago. And sort of the very thick of it is the 1590s and into the early 1600s. So you're talking about, you know, something like a 20-year time span. There are conventional scholars who would date it farther into the 16-teens. Scholars such as myself and many others in both inside academia and outside academia, who are what are called Oxfordians, who argue for Edward de Vere, Earl of Oxford, as you know,
the
as,
battles that no one ever hears about. Mark, go ahead, Liam.
Well, but they, starting October 28th, they will.
Right, when we see the movie,
it's
Mark,
it's going to be in movie theaters all over the world.
Mark, I want to frame this in a way that everybody can understand. What is the problem with Will Shakespeare being the author of the greatest plays in the English language? Wasn't he able to write? What was in the plays that would have excluded this guy? Who was he? Was he a well-read, well-researched guy? I said that he was a nobody, a half-arsed businessman. But you tell me, who was Will Shakespeare, and why couldn't he have written the plays?
Well, this debate does he begin with the question of who Will Shakespeare, or if you prefer to spell it Shakespeare, of Stratford, and so in short, I mean, the man was born in Stratford-upon-Avon and moved to London, it appears, in the early 1590s, got involved as a businessman in the London, he was in the London world, he was trading commodities and things like that, and he was also involved in the theater. He was an actor. I think he was a shareholder in some of the theaters. If you watch the movie Anonymous, you'll see him, you know, portrayed as somebody whose greatest calling in life is as an actor.
But what was he really? What was he trained in growing up? We were talking about genius and where it comes from. Maybe he was just a genius. I mean,
maybe he was, and I don't, you know, I think it's often, you know, it's often a charge is often leveled against Oxfordians as saying, oh well, they just say that a commoner couldn't have written these things. No, not at all. I mean, you know, you look at the history of art and the history of great literature and great creative works. It cuts across all social spectrum. You know, across all social spectrums, and so, you know, you have you know, commoners and people of lowly beginnings, people like Charles Dickens, who, you know, come up out of the slums of Victorian London and end up writing about, you know, their life and times. You have people, you know, in the sort of middle classes, you have people sort of in, you know, in the higher stations, but I guess what the Oxfordians are saying is that genius can also come in even at higher levels too.
But who was Will Shakespeare?
So let's get back to let's get back to Will Shakespeare. So he was born in Stratford, and he moved to London, as I said. He got involved in the theater.
But what was his
child? But who was he?
He was a Glover's son, right? Did he study Latin, Greek, French, Italian?
No, I mean, it's all supposition. I mean, any essentially any of the, if you get those, any of those biographies of Shakespeare, you know, Will and the World or things like that, there is plenty of documentation around his life, but none of it concerns, you know, we don't have any substantive evidence that he was an author.
Yeah, well, that's the question I think Liam's getting at, where that really begs to be asked, is there anything, if they have so much on him, that would explain how this guy could write so well, so extensively about so many things, not having language training or anything? I mean, it becomes almost bizarre that they can lay claim that this is the guy.
Yeah, I mean, let's keep things simple. I mean, I'll just say that there's, you know, we don't have any manuscripts, there's no letters, there's no, you know, there's nothing in his handwriting except for six very sort of scraggly signatures. It looks almost unpracticed. I mean, it looks like the guy doesn't have a whole lot of practice writing if you go by the witness of his handwriting and his signatures, because that's the only example that we have of his handwriting.
Yeah.
Or on legal documents written by other people. We do have his will, though. See, that's so there's something where we can, all right, well, let's
you have,
let's
you have
the thing
Will's,
that we do have.
You have Will's will. So let's take a quick break. We're going to find out about Will's will after this on the Robert Scott Bell Show Special Edition. Where does genius come from? New movie called Anonymous coming out. We've got Mark Anderson giving us some fascinating academic backstory to this, as well as the dilemma in academia about who this guy may or may not have been. Stay with us. Coming right back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only 5-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my 5-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the greatest show on earth!
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
masked man who outsmarted you and your gang is none other than
Robert Scott Bell.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
Robert Scott Bell.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Talking about the new movie, actually the backstory perhaps of this new movie called Anonymous. We've got Mark Anderson, and he's written extensively about this guy, Will Shakespeare, William Shakespeare. Who is he? We got to the point of the Will of Will.
And Shakespeare by another name is Mark's.
Shakespeare by another name
is Mark's book. And so Will Shakespeare left a will, and what was in that will?
What did we learn from it?
Well, so that's one thing that we do have about Will Shakespeare's Stratford's life. And it's a very well-documented, you know, I mean, he has a very well-documented estate. It's got things like the famous second-best bed that he left for his wife. You know, it's got little, you know, bowls and various furniture and things like that. But if you look for any hint, just the slightest hint of anything that might suggest that he was an author. By the way, there is a bequest to actors, so it's clear that he was, you know, he was involved in the theater. I don't dispute that.
Okay.
But you know, the question is, what did this guy? I mean, what was in this guy's house? You know, what can we learn about
was
him?
Was he
as
a
author?
Writer?
Was he a
and
writer?
The answer is nothing. There
nothing.
Is not
okay.
a scrap of any kind of hint of, you know, whether it's books, manuscripts, paper, inkwells, bookshelves, writing desks. You know, more than a dozen of his of the Shakespeare plays had not even appeared in print. There's not a mention of any other writers. There's not a mention of anything literary. He had a son-in-law.
That's pretty damn.
Shakespeare Stratford had a son-in-law who was very up on writers and loved to talk about writers. Never a mention in his son-in-law's life of his father-in-law. Will
we call this highly suspicious if this is the guy?
He had two daughters.
Yeah.
Who were illiterate.
Yeah, that would make sense. So I'm going to raise my daughter so they can't read what I'm writing? Come on.
William Shakespeare, the author?
No, it makes no sense. I mean,
right, so this guy's a lousy candidate. But Mark, you know, in your book, you go to great lengths to point out the number of foreign languages, the number of foreign manuscripts, the number of travelogues that appear in European travelogues, especially in Italy, that appear in Shakespeare. Now, did Will Shakespeare, this guy, ever get to Italy? Did he speak foreign languages that we know of?
Short answer, no. I mean, we know that he traveled to London from between Stratford upon Avon and London. Those are the places that we know he's been to. There are all kinds of. There's practically a cottage industry of Shakespeare scholars who try to imagine him going to all other places all across Europe, you know, to try to fill in these massive gaping holes.
Any evidence?
You know, filling out his
Just like there were no MacBooks to write your plays on back then, there were no jets to jet him around, no record of him traveling outside, as you said, back and forth from to London.
Yeah, I mean the way I term it is, it's kind of like he puts on his cloak of invisibility and then he runs off to Italy for, you know, to pick up everything that he needs to know about the plays, and then he darts back to London.
We're not talking,
you know,
H.G. Wells here, right?
You know?
So who was the other candidate here? Edward de Vere. He was a kid in the court of Queen Elizabeth. He came from a royal family, but I think his father died when he was young, and that left him in the tutelage of some very, very bright guys. Can you speak about those guys and those relationships a little?
Sure. There's been a whole controversy for many years about who, you know, if not Will Shakespeare, then who. Since 1920, the leading candidate has been this guy, Edward de Vere. He was born in the year 1550, and he was born into this prosperous family to the east of England. His father died when he was 12 years old, and he was shipped off to the court of Queen Elizabeth I. And at that time, the guy who was basically in charge of his lands is this guy named William Cecil Lord Burleigh. He was sort of the, if you want to imagine kind of a modern day equivalent of him, of Cecil, you might combine figures like everyone from J. Edgar Hoover to Karl Rove to you know, to throw in a secretary of a couple secretaries of the Treasury, some secretaries of defense, and you'd get an approximation of the kind of power and influence that William Cecil commanded. He was easily the most powerful man in England, with you know, with Queen Elizabeth being on the throne, but he was the power behind the throne. This man was Edward de Vere's guardian. This man is also personally and very specifically skewered in the play Hamlet. And de Vere grew up in a household where, you know, his father had a troupe of actors playing some, you know, some plays that his father had you know, licensed playwrights to write plays for. De Vere had at various times run some play groups. I can tell you this much: he was not a good money manager. He was business was not his specialty. Hmm. But he was recognized as a great court poet and playwright. One very telling anecdote from the time he was in his mid to late 30s. There's an account of the of the writers of the time, and it recognizes De Vere as, you know, among the best who would be recognized, quote, if their doings could be found out and made public with the rest. So in other words, it's, you know, this book is suggesting there's people who are writing some amazing stuff right about now, but it's not being you know, given to the public,
right?
At least not under this person's name.
Now, why would they be hiding? What was he writing? And why would he be hiding it? Why would he have contracted with some buffoon, you know, a guy who doesn't write, to
the front for him in
yeah.
this way?
Well, let's start back with, you know, him growing up in this court environment. Queen Elizabeth loved drama. She loved the plays that performed for her. Now, that's a different thing than, you know, out, you know, being played out in public. But there were every Christmas season there was a major festival of plays that were, you know, presented before the Queen. And so the story is that, you know, essentially de Vere gets involved in that whole world. That's one way to get, you know, to the to sort of speak to the Queen. As Hamlet says, you know, the play's the thing wherein I'll catch the conscience of the King.
Right.
And that's exactly how Oxfordians are saying the author is using drama, is you know, he's speaking directly to power, and he's trying to wield his influence through the stage and through his, you know, through his poetry.
But is it documented anywhere that de Vere was involved with drama? Did he work with, you said he worked with theatrical groups, so is that documented? Can you find?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He had, you know, he had a troupe of players. He also, you know, there are some records of, you know, performances of, you know, of his troops performing plays with some very interesting titles, you know, suggestive of early Shakespeare works. There are also titles of some anonymous works that, you know, we cannot definitively say, well, these must have come from the pen of de Vere, but boy, that, you know, with a play, there's a play in 1577, so this is a decade and a half before any Shakespeare works appear in print, but there's a record of a performance called The History of Error.
Hmm.
Before Queen Elizabeth. 1577, it fits absolutely perfectly with de Vere's life story, because he ran off to Italy. He comes back, and there was this crazy comedy of errors that took place when he was in Italy, and when he was in Italy, he learned that his wife got pregnant, but he couldn't remember having
sex with her.
Having done anything with her that might have caused that.
Yeah.
So there's this, you know, crazy kerfuffle going on at court about Oxford, you know, accusing his wife of cheating him, of, you know, bearing someone else's child. This, of course, comes out in the Shakespeare plays, and in fact, she comes up with this phenomenal excuse that, well, you did, you and I did actually do the deed, but you just don't remember it. You were probably drunk, or you were told.
Comedy
that
of errors, indeed.
Yeah, definitely. No,
but that's right. That's right in the Shakespeare canon. It's called The Bed Trick. It's in these two plays called All's Well That Ends Well and Measure for Measure.
Yeah.
And those two plays have that specific alibi. Is kind of the centerpiece of those plays. And the thing is, it happened to him. That's really what Oxfordians are saying, is that all of these plays are coming to us through the lens of the author's lived life at court. I mean, every single one of the Shakespeare plays, you know, it's the Duke of this and the Earl of that and the Duchess of that and the King of that and the Queen of that. I mean, it's constant. I mean, the world of the court is just the consciousness of the author. And it is just so plainly apparent. Walt Whitman, another famous poet who doubted that Will Shakespeare was the author, he said that the Shakespeare plays are the scope and pulse of feudalism.
What you have in Shakespeare or in De Vere is a retelling of this man's life, not only in A Comedy of Errors, All Well That's Ended, Measure for Measure, but in Hamlet, which is extremely autobiographical. And if you get into Mark Anderson's book, Shakespeare by Another Name, you can really trace Hamlet and De Vere's life. They are stunning, beautiful parallels. And Hamlet's my favorite Shakespeare play. I like a lot of them. I'm not so keen on the histories, but this Hamlet just speaks to you. And what does Will Shakespeare, the actor from nowhere who is a half-arsed businessman, leaves his second best bed, what does he have to do with understanding the royal court and writing such a piece as Hamlet?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Now, not having any dog in the fight here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, because I don't, but I'm fascinated always. Thank you. But I'm always fascinated, Mark, by this coming from an outside the academic world perspective. The average person might go, okay, this is fascinating stuff, but who loses most by Will Shakespeare not being William Shakespeare and me? Maybe it's this Edward guy. Who loses and what do they lose?
Well, there's certainly a lot of academic prestige on the line, and there's a whole industry built up around Shakespeare of Stratford and
so ego and industry for one and two.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's plenty at stake in that sense.
But I think that, the lesson we want to bring out today, and I got to take a quick break here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're going to be right back. But genius, how has genius come about? Because the illusion in the Shakespeare story is just this guy just out of nowhere came up with this. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break. Mark Anderson is our guest. One more segment. Liam Sheff is in the house, and we got lots more healing to do of an academic and playwright nature. How interesting. Stay with us. Coming right back.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, enerfood.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com.
In the health world through the power of radio, it's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Mark Anderson is our guest. Shakespeare by Another Name is the book. We'll tell you how to get that, as well as an e-version coming up. A question of genius. We sort of solved the mystery in a brief way.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we laid out enough in a short. You get the understanding that Will Shakespeare, a Glover's son, trained in nothing that anybody knows. There's no record of him learning. You know, in order to write the Shades of Plakespeare?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Now, does Danny Glover know that he's related?
I love it.
In order to write the plays of Shakespeare, you would have had to been able to read and translate Latin and Greek. Who in a rural bumpkin school in Arkansas now can read Latin and Greek? The same thing applies to Stratford-upon-Avon at that point. You had to get manuscripts that only Edward de Vere's actual tutors had access to some of these European manuscripts. They were not even translated yet. He had access to works that nobody else had in his tutelage, in his growing. So I think that to me speaks volumes about this myth that we have. And it's the myth of authority knowing so much more than we do, and it's the myth of the talking head coming on TV and saying, oh, I'm an MD, I studied for 3 years, and I memorized a lot of stuff, and you don't know anything. It's nonsense. People aren't geniuses because the television says they're genius or because academia says they're genius. Edward de Vere had a hard life. He trained and studied hard. You don't think he had to do his lessons his entire childhood? It was probably a brutal, grueling childhood of writing and writing and reciting and reciting.
We actually have some of his lesson plans and things like that. And this is, you know, at the age of 12, and it's, you know, it's the kind of stuff that you'd see in a top-tier college. He had some of the best tutors in Europe, and certainly in England.
The teaching was there. And just referring yesterday, Dr. Nick Gonzalez, people, he's brilliant, yes, but he worked his aspirin off to get there.
He did. Yeah, you can be gifted, but gifted plus lazy gets you 7-Eleven. You're still working at the video game store.
Yes.
What is it? 99% of inspiration really is perspiration. So he was clearly gifted. He came from a family of intellects. His father had done work in theater, all this kind of stuff. And he was in the royal court. He had the exposure. And I want to throw it to Mark. What happens now when Anonymous comes out and everybody in public school gets to see that essentially they've been cheated? And this is where my feeling about it comes in. We've all been cheated. The understanding that you don't become a great, great, great person because history tells us that you were a great person. You become great because you take the skills that you have and you hone and you work and you never stop.
Absolutely. I mean, I do think that our old myth of Shakespeare of Stratford does a real disservice to education.
Yes.
To kind of, you know, like you said, kind of our whole notion of what it requires to achieve, you know, to achieve great things in one's life. I mean, De Vere was quite a character, and he was, you know, he was kind of a rapscallion at times. The guy was a, you know, he was a jerk very often, but he was also had an, you know, phenomenal wit and an incredible. The story of his upbringing is essentially one of surrounding himself and being surrounded by some of the top minds of his age. Even in England as well as on his grand tour, when he essentially visited. You take a look at his traveling throughout Italy when he was 25 and 26 years old. His documented itinerary is essentially Shakespeare's Italy. There's a book that's coming out next month called The Shakespeare Guide to Italy that I have nothing to do with, but it's an amazing book, and it just shows that time and again the Shakespeare Italian plays, which is Shakespeare's favorite, you know, setting for all of his plays except for England.
Right. Romeo and Juliet, the Merchant of Venice, Two Gentlemen from Verona.
Othello, the Moor of Venice, Much Ado About Nothing taking place in Messina and in Sicily and so on and so forth. I mean, there are a dozen Shakespeare Italy plays, and you look at where they're set, and these plays are essentially set at the known ports of call of Edward de Vere's travels.
Yeah. And they read like they're a Fodor's travel guide. It's not like you heard of a town named Verona.
Right. He was there. He's immersed. He's immersed in it. I think this is, you know, Mark, this is great that you've done this work for everybody to benefit now. And I think you're going to get a lot more people learning about you because this movie Anonymous is coming out next Friday. I believe that's the 28th of October, the last I looked. And, you know, I appreciate you giving a sneak preview to the backstory here with on the Robert Scott Bell Show, getting everybody plugged in. I think it's very exciting to learn about this.
Now, a couple...
Yeah. And can I just say one word about the movie itself?
Sure.
I mean, I think I've seen the movie, and it's very fun. It's an enjoyable sort of popcorn movie. I would say, you know, watch it as you might watch Shakespeare in Love or Amadeus. You know, movies that take plenty of liberties with historical, you know, with strict historical truth, but contain an essential elemental truth to them. So,
right.
You know, in the case of Amadeus, you're getting this picture of this phenomenal genius, but who was just a crazy man in real life.
Right.
And the story of Anonymous is, I mean, it takes all kinds of liberties with, you know, with this, you know, with history as a lot of Hollywood versions of history do, but essentially, you know, it is about these plays being incredibly political. They're coming right from the, you know, the heat of the kitchen, as it were.
Yes.
And these are works that were so hot, in fact, that the author had to ultimately sacrifice his name.
Right. But Anonymous is about the Edward de Vere story. So wherever,
absolutely.
Right. It's not about how the great Nothing Glover wrote. No, it's
that's
not.
What's so revolutionary about what this film is, even though it's fictionalized, of course.
Now, a few years ago, the Wall Street Journal published an article in which judges Scalia and I think, Stevens. Right, had come forward.
Stevens, so both the left wing and the right wing of the Supreme Court. Yeah.
And they said, you know, through reviewing of this data, yeah, I think it was de Vere. Now, I loved this article, and then I looked the next day in the Wall Street Journal, 2 days later, and there were articles, there were letters.
Attacking.
And there was, now the letters called them deniers. I mean, here we go again, Holocaust denial. Because you don't think that the Glover son wrote.
Right.
I mean, how hot does it get in this debate?
Very.
we get it. We do get it. We appreciate you standing up for what you found to be factual there. And I want people to, you know, access your book. Can you let them know how to find it?
Sure. The book's title, that plus Google will get you far. It's called Shakespeare by Another Name. My book's website is shakespearebyanothername.com. I blog regularly on the subject, and we also have a fun Facebook group that is, you know, constantly talking about all kinds of new ideas and just, you know, kind of carrying it forward. The Facebook group is called Shakespeare, Shakesvere. You search for any of those terms. Search for Shakespeare by Another Name.
And you have an e-book now also available.
That's right. By the end of the month, we're just finalizing it as we tape this. But
yes.
it'll be out in ebook stores and, you know,
beautiful.
On Amazon and
Kindle
and
version,
Kindle
excellent.
Version,
Kindle and Nook and iPad and on all, you know, Sony Reader, all the ebook formats all over the world.
Mark's book is one of the best I've read in 10 years, I mean, in this century, to put it in grand terms, but you know what I'm saying. It really is. It's really beautifully well written.
Nice.
The language is specific and clear and exciting. And if you're a fan of English history and language, you don't understand the Elizabethan court, I think, better than through the lens of Edward de Vere as William
Shakespeare. Nice. Well, and this movie may stimulate a lot of new awareness of what you have done here, Mark, and I appreciate you spending the time with us.
Here's to it, Robert, and thank you, Liam, and Robert, for having me on.
All the links as well are up at robertscottbell.com. If any of it went by too quickly, I know that some of you might need to re-listen. Anytime, Liam, we talk with an academician, I mean, they go to layer and layer and layer. And, of course, it's a challenge when we're talking in terms of a lay audience to many different subjects to have to go down in a very simple way to get to the root of the story, which was about the myth of genius.
Right. And Mark's book is great, and it cuts to the chase. In fact, it just opens and it lays it out, and it doesn't waste any time. It's beautiful. Shakespeare by Another Name. It really is a great book. The problem with, of course, academics is they're attacked by other academics, and so they learn to hedge their arguments, and they always have to footnote and annotate and know, and if according to and according to and according to. This is why nobody understands what academics are talking about, unfortunately, and it's why a lot of It's why a lot of great ideas don't make it into or out of academia. Now, Mark is an exception. He really can speak in his writing, and I think that in the interview, he lays out this concept. Yes, this man was trained in this world of ideas. That's why I bemoan stupid video games and stupid TV all the time.
I get it.
You only have one childhood. You only have, as far as we remember, in that we have one life to live. Maybe we live multiple lives, but we have one life to live right now. And if you do it, and you raise your children in front of this box and they're babysitting, they're going to grow up repeating what Jennifer Aniston said, and God help them if they do.
Well, Liam, the myth of genius, I think somewhere along the lines, we were sold this ease of which, take this weekend course, concept, and you become an expert in a field, and then you'll have all the accolades, you'll have all the money. And I think, the economy crumbling, so many things crumbling, the hard way is coming back in vogue. Now, I was never a fan of the hard way, and I want to say it this way. If I could find a method by which I would be more efficient with my action, I wanted to take that, even if somebody insisted, no, you have to go this way. Now, I think that's different because I found ways that I actually indelibly learned, but I was willing to take the time it took. But sometimes you could see, hey, this is maybe not the best method to get there. That's different than being lazy and not wanting to put the time and effort in. So I always like, can you innovate? I always ask questions of people. Maybe you see something I don't, and because sometimes they do. A lot of times they don't, but
But you were mentored, and that took
very much
a decade of your life.
Yes.
I was mentored. I studied macrobiotics. I did my studies over, I think, 10 years with a lot of books with some different people while I was learning. And I'm not a macrobiotic counselor. I don't claim that. I wouldn't want to be, actually.
Yeah.
But I know a lot about health and nutrition. There are people who know more, but I'm deeply grounded in it because I lived it every day. Every day of my life in my 20s was an experiment with food. What is the effect of cooking this way? What is the effect of eating only rice for a few days? Only squash? Only seeds? I can tell you what food is and what it does because I did I did experiments with it. Gandhi did experiments with truth. I did experiments with food.
Yes.
That's the name of his.
Well, and this is the point of encouraging it through these experiences, that it is experience itself. If I hadn't been ill and had the experience I had, this wouldn't have been my life's path, clearly. And whether it was preordained or not, that's for another show. I think it's irrelevant, really.
Right.
You're just dealing with what you're dealing with and go, all right, what do I do with it? What do I want to do with it? And I made some decisions. I could have rejected, at the first time I learned of homeopathy, I could have said, that sounds too crazy. I'm going somewhere else. I could have. Why didn't I? I wanted to get somewhere, and life somehow presented this to me, and I said, that is what I want. And I went for it. And despite a lot of obstacles thrown in my way along the way, I could have just said, oh, I don't want it that bad, right?
When I was first presented with macrobiotics, I could have walked away, but I didn't. I was fascinated by the interplay of energies. When I was first presented with the technical clinical arguments about the AIDS issue, HIV issue, I could have walked away. I was even offended at the idea that somehow all of these doctors were wrong. And I fought it, and then I decided I was going to investigate it and prove the person who was telling me about it was going to prove him wrong. Well, lo and behold, I found out that the HIV tests do stink, and AIDS is, you can have AIDS, but HIV is a nonsense thing. But I had to do the work, and I did it for years. I even did it for years before I even talked about it publicly. People say, oh, there are geniuses in the world. Mozart was a genius. Beethoven was a genius. You know what? They were worked like slaves when they were children. They studied every second of every day. They were probably miserable, miserable people as children because their parents, their fathers, trotted them around forcing them to play, making them study, making them write. Genius? Now, we're not talking about the kid who can't, there are these forms of autism and suddenly somebody who can't speak or this or that or the other thing can suddenly play the piano. No, that exists. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about the fully capacitated, all eight cylinders firing kind of stuff you see in what we call the great minds. They didn't get there by accident, and that's why I'm not a fan of the video game and the endless TV loop, and I'm not a fan of modern society in many ways and the stuff that it gives us as entertainment or info, whatever. I really like books, and I like writing, and I like drawing, and I like getting out, and if you're doing a sport, I like that you get out and you do it and you study it and you learn the art of it. The way Dr. J, Dr. J?
Yeah.
Remember Dr. Chapstick?
Yeah, yeah.
Just kidding about that. But he Julius Erving used to go to the basketball court, and he would shoot it was a math and a physics and a science to him. He would just observe it, shoot, observe it, get it in. Okay, what's the angle? What's the velocity? What's the height? He was a scientist of physics with this rubber ball and the 10-foot, 11-foot, 12-foot, yeah, I guess, you know, they're, hey, they're tall.
Yes. No, the 10-foot basketball
hoops. You get what I'm
saying. That's right.
You got to work.
Well, and I remember when we talked off the air about some of the HIV-AIDS issues. It's like you asked me, you're quiet, well, how did you get to this understanding, Robert? You know, it's like, where did this come from, right? Because it was so rare to you know, talk to somebody that, that got it at any point in time, much less the years ago when I was talking about it. But again, I was mentored into an understanding so that I could see things in a certain way. I could see a language and it would make sense, much like, you know, the vaunted Matrix films where suddenly you see the code.
Yeah.
And if you don't, it looks like magic. You know, if you can meet a person and within a few minutes tell them everything about their medical history and you'd be right about it, someone would think you're a psychic or a magician. And it couldn't be that he had been doing this for 50 years, right? And identified the patterns like you just described, patterns in food, energy, how it feels, what it looks like. And you see, that's the magic and the mystery. And some like to hold that over people. Others would say, I'd be willing to give you this information. I want people to know it. But who's willing to take what it or you know, do what it takes to get that? And that's what Dr. Nick said yesterday. Nobody will come and they say a few minutes and I should be able to do what you do. They don't get it. That's the moral of the story.
It's the moral of this story. William, the greatest works in the English language were not written by some lucky dude.
Yeah. Thanks for doing that with me today, Liam. That was fantastic. Anyway, lots of healing to go on the Robert Scott Bell Show every day. We're going to sign off for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Again, thanks to Dr. Teresa Dale. Thanks to Mark Anderson. Thanks to Liam Sheff. And remember, as we sign off every day here, the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.